Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. By some estimates, the United States is now enduring 8,000 home foreclosures a day. Some 4 million homes, or 8% of the country's first mortgages, delinquent or in foreclosure. That pain and its potentially devastating further spread have lit a fire under Congress. The House is now considering $300 billion in federally insured loans to rescue homeowners in over their heads. What's fair here? What makes sense? That is the subject of a deep debate. This hour On Point, we'll hear it from both sides of the mortgage bailout argument and from House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank. We expect to hear from Congressman Frank later this hour about his much-discussed homeowner rescue plan. But first, joining me today from Washington is Sarah Leek, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. She's been covering congressional efforts to address the mortgage crisis. Sarah, welcome to On Point.
Thank you.
So where do things stand right now? We know the Senate pushed toward acting last week. The House has a lot going on. What's the state of play here, Sarah?
Well, the one thing that's coming up this week is that Chairman Frank, who you're going to be hearing from later, is having hearings on his proposal to give the Federal Housing Administration a greater role in insuring troubled mortgages. That's sort of the big kahuna of this debate and the most sweeping proposal that's out there. And we still don't know how Congress or the administration is going to react to that idea.
The House, but Congressman Frank and Nancy Pelosi sort of pushing in the lead here. The Senate did something more conservative last week or worked on it, may pass it tomorrow. What is the Senate plan look like, Sarah, compared to the House?
Sure. Well, the Senate has been working on a bill that's quickly become sort of a tax bill in a lot of ways. There's a lot of tax goodies for various businesses and individuals in this bill. And the supporters of this bill, like Chairman Dodd, have been saying that it's meant to sort of soften the ground, that it is not sort of the end-all, be-all solution to the housing crisis. It has various measures in there, such as tax breaks for home builders, tax breaks for troubled manufacturers like automakers, have been added recently in the Senate. There are some property tax relief for individuals. There's for people who don't itemize their taxes, they could get a $500 or $1,000 deduction on their property taxes. There's a tax credit for home buyers in this bill that would be worth $7,000 over 2 years for people who purchase homes that are near foreclosure. So there's a lot of goodies in this bill, a little bit unclear so far as to how the House might address some of these ideas and whether they would be as focused on some of the tax relief in this bill as the Senate.
Or whether they may go much further with the FHA plan, as you say, relatively slim pickings in the Senate plan compared to what the House is contemplating, though an important step in the Senate where there was consideration of giving judges in bankruptcy cases the ability to come in and sort of rewrite individual mortgages. That got pulled off the table in the Senate last week.
That's right. And that at the initial introduction of this Senate bill, that was sort of the centerpiece of the Senate Democrats' plan. That was the thing that they said would do the most to help hundreds of thousands, perhaps 600,000 homeowners who were facing bankruptcy to rewrite the terms of their mortgages in a way that they'd be able to make their payments. Now, that was stripped out. There was huge opposition to that from Senate Republicans and also from the administration and also from the banking industry. So that did get stripped out, and Democrats said that was sort of a matter of practicality, that they wanted to get some of these other pieces through. And I think the larger issue here is that no politician, especially in an election year, wants to be caught stopping what can be perceived by the public as help for a major housing issue.
So with Congressman Frank's proposal, the House proposal, we're talking a lot more money, $300 billion, that's a lot of money, in federally insured loans potentially here. To help whom? Who would be targeted among mortgage holders?
I mean, this would definitely be the thing that would help the troubled homeowner the most. It would be a way for some of the people in subprime mortgages and other types of mortgages to rewrite the terms of their loans to the more traditional sort of 30-year mortgage. And that would, in effect, erase, you know, some people's mortgage debt, and lenders would have to take some losses. So that's a bit, very controversial.
Erase their mortgage debt or just reduce it and put it on more manageable terms?
That's right. Put it on more manageable terms, but in order to do that, the lenders would have to take a loss. So there's a bit of controversy there. And, of course, I'm sure Chairman Frank will talk more about how he's trying to avoid bailing out people who either were speculators or who took on loans that they couldn't have afforded and should have known better, sort of thing. That's been the big debate between Republicans and Democrats, is that Republicans are saying that people who took on more debt than they could have reasonably afforded shouldn't be bailed out in this way.
And how do the battle lines look now? The Republicans, some have been saying that. At the same time, we're reading that they also have felt the heat when they went home for their spring vacation here recently from constituents who are feeling the pain.
That's right. I think that that's what you see with the Senate bill, which quickly picked up momentum last week when the Senate returned to work. And I think what you're seeing there is just this desire by everybody to try to do something. And though a lot of conservatives, Republicans, are nervous about doing what they call big government bailout, there are Republicans on the more moderate side or in states where this is a huge issue who are saying, well, maybe this is something that's at least worth looking at. So we'll have to see how Chairman Frank's hearings go and also how Chairman Dodd in the Senate, how his hearings that he plans go on a similar proposal, and we'll see once they introduce their legislation and start trying to move it through where the battle lines are.
Talk of the biggest intervention in the housing market since the Great Depression here. What's the early read, Sarah? Does it look like it has a strong chance on the big scale of passing? Might the White House sign, or would a veto be waiting there? Any idea?
I think the White House really is a big question mark because sometimes the where they throw their weight really determines how the Senate Republicans act. And with such close margins in the Senate, while you can see Chairman Frank being able to get his bill through the House where the Democrats have a wider margin, the Senate is a little bit trickier thing. So we do need to sort of wait and see what President Bush says and what the administration says, because that can put a lot of weight one place or the other. This week, Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, and other members of Congress are supposed to be meeting with President Bush, and she plans to take this issue up with him and sort of push him a little bit more on what could be done for the economy, including this housing proposal. And we'll see if anything comes out of that, if the administration comes back and signals where they stand.
Sarah Leek, reporter with The Wall Street Journal, joining us from Washington. Sarah, thank you very much for being
here. Thank you.
We're talking today about cleaning up the home lending mess and what kind of rescue is right, is fair here. We'll hear a couple of views on that. Joining me now from Philadelphia is Joseph Mason, professor of finance at Drexel University. He's also a senior fellow at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. He's testified before both the House and Senate on the subprime crisis. Joe Mason, welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And joining us from Washington, Josh Nassar, Vice President for Federal Affairs at the Center for Responsible Lending. It's a nonprofit group that focuses on predatory lending practices. He's also testified before Congress on these issues. Josh Nassar, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Josh, first to you. Make the case. Why should the federal government step up and bail out maybe millions of Americans who are in over their heads on their mortgages?
Well, I think first it's really important to understand the absolutely devastating effects of foreclosures and the scale of foreclosures we're seeing. Alone, 20,000 subprime homeowners are losing their homes every week, mostly due to abusive lending practices. And the fact of the matter is the government has taken an active role already in the bailout of Bear Stearns, for example. So I think the question we need to ask is, what can be done to prevent foreclosures, to stop further bleeding, that damages neighborhoods and the economy in general? And I think that's the question for policymakers to be concerned with. Certainly, there should be no reason to reward people who are speculators. But for folks who are homeowners, doing their best to pay on their mortgages, the mortgage terms that they're in are certainly are unaffordable in many circumstances, and we need to act proactively to prevent foreclosures.
Joseph Mason, how about it? A lot of homes going into foreclosure, a lot of families feeling that pain, potential damage to the whole economy here. So is it time for Congress to step up and get involved in a major way with the kind of plan we see coming out of the House?
Well, first of all, just to temper the debate here, I want to go back to an old quote by Alan Greenspan that warned very, very sternly about inappropriately precise point estimates. A lot of the numbers that are being thrown around here are really unknown. When we talk about 20,000 foreclosures per week, we're talking about foreclosures that have been begun, not those which have been completed, which is necessary to compare to historical data. So we don't really know that this is the worst housing crisis since the Great Depression. It appears that it's more on par with the 1980s.
But we know it's very, very big, and we've seen its knock-on effects already. What about the intervention? What's appropriate?
Well, have we seen the knock-on effects? We don't know real estate values for sure. These are very new indexes. They've never been used. We've never gone through a crisis with these. At the end of the day, when it comes to policy, I think you have to be guided by a fundamental principle, which is that it's really hard to afford a home without income and savings. We got a lot of people without income and savings necessary to buy homes into homes over the last 5 to 10 years. And the fact of the matter is these mortgages just aren't stable. It's the fundamental fact is it's hard to own a home. It's very costly. You have to pay for maintenance, taxes, utilities. Homes are very energy inefficient compared to multi-unit housing.
Are you saying these homeowners should be out on their ear? That's appropriate? Kick them out?
Well, many should. We know that fraud is at record highs, and unless we can separate out the fraud from meaningful attempts at purchases, then we really shouldn't go down this path. The fact of the matter is, economically, we have a problem with, it's a natural rate problem. It's much like we had in the 1970s. Then we learned about a natural rate of unemployment. We learned that as much as socially you might like to drive unemployment down to zero, you really can't do that because there's some natural job frictions. People change jobs. Here we have a natural rate of home ownership. We have too many people in homes. It's skewing the market, creating poor economic performance and effects.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about cleaning up the home lending mess and who, if anyone, should get help, should get a bailout. We're looking right down to the individual brink of foreclosure house here, maybe on your street. Joe Mason is with us. He's a finance professor at Drexel University. Josh Nasser is with us from the Center for Responsible Lending. It's got the attention of candidates on the campaign trail. Senator John McCain said recently in a big economic speech that individual homeowners have to take responsibility for their own actions.
I've always been committed to the principle that it's not the duty of government to bail out and reward those who act irresponsibly, whether they're big banks or small borrowers.
Senator Barack Obama said the government needs to be fair across the board in handling the country's financial crisis.
If we can extend a hand to banks on Wall Street when they get into trouble, we can extend a hand to Americans who are struggling, often through no fault of their own.
Let's go straight to one of those Americans. June is calling from Maryland, doesn't want to say the town name. We might understand that. June, thanks very much for calling. What's your experience?
Thanks so much. I love the show. And this just breaks my heart just to talk about it. But my rate actually switched on the closing table. I was quoted as 7.5. I did all the paperwork for Truth in Lending. And all the Truth in Lending paperwork kept on quoting me a 7.5 with, you know, no money down.
Okay.
I wouldn't have to do anything.
Where did it end up? Where is it now?
A 9.4. And it's a 30-year mortgage. And I have a balloon payment at the end of 30 years. It's a 40-year, but it's a balloon payment at 30.
Can you keep up with your payments? Are you able to keep your house?
Well, right now it's great. You know, we bring in close to, you know, $20,000 a month, and I mean it's fantastic. But I'm just concerned in November when the rate changes, God knows what it's going to go up to. It said that it caps at 16%, and I was never explained this at the closing table. I was never told any of this. The actual mortgage broker, the company, they're being investigated by the FBI, and I spoke with the mortgage company about the mortgage broker. They understand the investigation is going on, but there's nothing that they can do to help me.
And June, what did you buy it for? What was the price, if I may ask?
I bought it for $700,000.
Do you look back now and say, you know, that was a mistake? We could only afford a $500,000 house?
Well, I guess they got me. You know, once you're fooled the second time, it's my fault, you know. And I know that there's a lot of talk about responsibility, but on paper, you know, the original paperwork that I was quoted, everything fit.
It looked to you like it would work. June, thanks for sharing that story. Josh Nasser, what do you make of this? Is this the kind of American homeowner that you're looking for help for?
This is yes, it's absolutely completely typical. The bottom line is that mortgage brokers and lenders have made an awful lot of money on unaffordable loans, and many people think that a broker, for example, has a duty to give you a loan you can afford, the best loan, but that's not the case. In fact, they generally get kickbacks for putting you in higher rate loans than what you qualify for. The bottom line is that the foreclosures that we're talking about, first of all, home prices are depreciating many parts of the country. There are record-level high foreclosures. This is not all projections. This is reality. The other thing is that a loss of a home has a devastating effect on neighborhood property values and the tax base. So we're talking about a situation here where we have to do what we can to prevent, you know, foreclosures that are, you know, that we can see coming because of the loans are so unfair.
Now, what would, let's say, Barney Frank's plan do for someone like June? I know we don't have all the details here, but as I understand it, what the FHA would take over the loan, in effect, pay a chunk, not the full assessed value, to the current mortgage holder, the current lender, and then come in and give a lower payment to June or whoever's holding the mortgage here?
Well, basically, the way it's, you know, from my understanding, some details are still being worked out, are that you take a loan, and basically the lender and the investors, many times they're investors who own these loans, have to agree to a loss up front. So you're talking about situations where a person's usually going to be behind in their payments, eminently close to foreclosure. It's not clear to me that's the circumstance here. Got to go back to, though, what we've been relying on, the government's been relying on, are voluntary loan modifications from this industry.
This has been the Bush plan. It hasn't had too much traction yet.
No, because it's voluntary, and it's had very little effect. And that is why I was mentioned in an earlier part of the broadcast, there is really a change of law that's needed to the bankruptcy code to allow bankruptcy judges to come in when someone's about to lose their home and lower the mortgage terms, not so they get a free home, but so they have a home that they can continue to afford with very strict parameters on some loans. The Senate,
I've got to interrupt here, Josh.
Just a moment, Joe. Really... Let him just finish his thought. We'll get right to you. Josh, just finish that out. We'll go to Joe.
Yeah, the Senate, unfortunately, you know, derailed a proposal to do as I'm speaking. And hopefully, you know, the Congress will consider taking much stronger action. And that kind of change in law is really needed. We cannot just rely on voluntary efforts. And,
we've got the point.
Foreclosures.
Joe Mason, you hear June's story. You hear Josh saying this is the kind of homeowner we've got to get in there and help. What do you say?
Well, the big question is, do we need new legislation to do this? We really don't. You know, we do have investigations going on right now. June, I understand those aren't going to help you right now because those are going to move too slowly for you. But also, legislation is going to move too slowly for you. This is not going to come through anytime soon, and you obviously have problems right now. We also have rulings so that are going on around the country. In Wisconsin, there was a very important court ruling that rescinded a contract, but more importantly, allowed for class action status in this lawsuit so that all similar loans underwritten by the same underwriter would be rescinded as well, and you could get out of that contract. But even more important, I want to clarify this voluntary modification idea. June, call a community service organization like ACORN or NACA. A lot of people think that these are only to serve the underclass or poor people. They're not. They will go through your budget, look at what you can afford, and help write a modification to your affordability standard. They don't know who you are yet, though. You have to call them. Unfortunately, President Bush has now given out the wrong phone number twice on national press releases. But
big red carpet there.
You can get through this. Yes. But
we've seen the numbers on the people taking advantage of what the president has offered, and they look pretty small compared to the problem out there. I mean, you know the argument that's made, Joe, that if the federal government doesn't get in and help individual homeowners, you get whole neighborhoods that get blighted where prices start to just go through the floor, and we could really get into a big national problem, not to mention community by community a big problem.
A lot of these neighborhood effects are very, very interesting. First of all, many tend to be neighborhoods where developers sold blocks of houses to brokers who then moved them out through subprime loans. And the developers were getting hungry. This bill also bails out the developers, mind you. But also, these quote-unquote neighborhood effects tend to be neighborhoods in the wrong places. If you start looking at the regional distribution of homes that are that are usually in foreclosure, or rather that are underwater in terms of value. They tend to be homes that are right on the edge of a really valuable development, but they're right along the busy street or underneath power lines. And obviously, they weren't really valued at that high value to begin with, so their values are now falling to appropriate levels. But the other part of this is people who walked up to the edge of foreclosure risk are now learning about the foreclosure system. In June, just because foreclosure papers are being filed against you doesn't mean that you automatically lose a case. Unfortunately, you're going to wade into this legal arena, but usually a judge will forestall a foreclosure if what you describe is accurately described, and there are problems with the lender being under investigation and other things.
Right, but we know
a
lot of those
foreclosure system does work.
But a lot of those houses empty right now, right across big swaths of territory underneath power lines or not. The question is what to do about it. Let's go to Newton, Iowa, and our caller, Aaron. Aaron, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I've listened to the conversation this morning, and I think that, from my point of view, I think that considering having a federal government bail out an individual or offer any sort of assistance, really, to an individual home buyer who signed into a variable rate mortgage that potentially, when the rate changes, they couldn't afford, is just ridiculous. If someone's going to make irresponsible financial decisions with a loan that can change outside of their budget, to think that someone should bail them out, especially the federal government, is just it baffles me that we're even talking about this.
But Aaron, let me ask you a couple things. First, what about how the federal government has swooped in to help out Wall Street when it got in trouble after what some people might consider ridiculous moves?
Equally ridiculous that the federal government is going to bail out anyone. I mean, if the lender is going to make equally irresponsible decisions, they need to. The ramifications of those decisions are on them.
What about the economic ramifications for all of us? What if we do nothing here and, this turns into it's already turned into a big problem. What if it drags down the whole economy? Would you look back with regret then and say, Aaron, we should have done more, should have done something?
No, not at all. I think that people, corporations, individuals, we all need to be held responsible for our decisions, and the information is available. It's not like we're all cheating each other and pulling blinders over each other's eyes when we're selling mortgages to people and signing mortgages as home buyers.
Yep. I mean, Aaron, thanks for your call. Josh Nassar, how about it? These homeowners should have paid attention. They should have known, read the fine print, and it's wrong whether Wall Street or individual mortgage holders for the federal government to be in there.
A couple things. First of all, the reality is that in many times with the mortgages that people have gotten into, there are refinancings with very aggressive marketing where people are told, hey, you can lower your monthly payments, sign up today.
No documents necessary.
At the end of the day, there's been a lot of irresponsible behavior on industry folks who have made an awful lot of money along the way. I respect, the caller's point of view about how there should be no government policy whatsoever, but the reality is that the government has taken very dramatic policy for Wall Street, and I don't see the executives who made so much money on these loans through the years giving back the money, first of all. So we are taking aggressive federal policy action. That is what is happening. So now the question is, how can we do it in the most responsible way? And I got to go back to the fact that we cannot just rely on the industry that created the crisis to get us out of the crisis.
But what about the argument that if we intervene in this way, we create a sense that among homeowners that, well, you can pay too much, you can borrow too much, the federal government will come along and help you, and we get a kind of a warped market that doesn't work well now or in the future?
Well, I mean, things have to be crafted carefully, and certainly there should, for example, not be any aid given to speculators, for example. And we should make sure that these are mortgages that are transformed in a way where people can continue to afford them. We're not talking about people getting free homes. So certainly there needs to be parameters that just don't reward, give bad incentives. But at the same time, we have to be aware that most people's wealth is tied up in their homes, and we're talking about generations' worth of wealth being built up that is getting lost here, and we're talking about a lot of people getting out of the middle class. This is really terrible for the country as a whole, and we have to take the big picture in mind.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let me take a call from New Haven, Connecticut, and Roger. Hi, Roger. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Okay. What do you see, Roger?
I believe people should just live within their means. I waited 49 years to buy my house. and I bought it at a good price, and I went with an FHA mortgage. I did my homework. I didn't overextend myself, and still, I just barely really make it every month. It's tough out there, and I feel bad for the people, but they should have done their homework.
What about the very aggressive marketing that we all heard? It was on commercial radio all the time. You know, no money down, no documentation required. Come on in, we'll take care of you. Do you have sympathy for people who may have been kind of, hustled into their mortgage?
Well, this sounds too good to be true. It's probably not true. I went to my local bank. I told them I'm the first home buyer, and they gave me good direction by just going to your bank that you have gone to for years, and they will be there to help you.
What if it all comes around and bites us all in the end, Roger? May even bite you if the economy takes a deeper hit than it's taken already out of this. Are you worried about that?
30 years ago, my father, he lost his home. And he had a heart attack directly out of it. We got thrown out into the street. We recovered. My sisters and brothers, they're all doing well now. And, it's going to come around. People are going to win, and people are going to lose.
Roger, thanks for your call. Joe Mason, is that what we're talking about here? We need people thrown out in the streets, maybe a couple heart attacks along the way, but it'll get the market back, home prices back down where they ought to be. You're a finance professor. Is that the cold, hard math here, in your view?
Oh, now you bring it to the heart attacks. There's so much fear-mongering going on in this market right now.
Well, that was Roger's father. I mean, that's a direct story there about one family, but there it is.
Right. That's a direct story about one family, but is that representative? Are we going to have people jumping off ledges like the Great Depression? Is the economy, the world going to end? No, it's not. In fact, we're not even really facing a recession right now. To have a real recession, you have to go back to the 1970s.
You're pretty confident of that, given Bernanke himself said last week that we may very well be facing a recession right now.
He finally said we may very well, but he didn't say we're in it.
But give us your answer to the question. Do we need to see the housing market drop down a big, painful whack to get back on solid ground here? Is that implicit in your prescription?
When you have a natural rate problem, like the natural rate of unemployment in the 1970s, what happened? Paul Volcker had to come into office and slam the economy down to realign economic fundamentals. Unfortunately, that's the same situation we're in right now. This situation has been caused by government policy to push people into homes, irregardless of income and savings, with the help of creative, complex mortgage instruments.
So how much do you think home prices need to
industry.
Drop? How much do they need to drop across the board?
The government is not going to solve this any better than they got us into this.
How much do you think home prices need to go down then, in your view, across the board to get on solid ground here?
I'm not going to talk about home prices falling because, again, we can't measure that well. And for the homeowner that has truly bought their home and is going to live there for the next 5 years, none of this really matters because they're going to weather the storm as they did before, just like Roger was talking about. If you bought intelligently and planned, you'll be fine. We have 46 million mortgages, 42 million pay on time, 20 million homes are owned outright. I think those statistics are very real and they speak for themselves.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about cleaning up the home lending mess and who, if anyone, should get help here. We've been joined by Joseph Mason, finance professor at Drexel University in Philadelphia, Josh Nasser at the Center for Responsible Lending in Washington. In just a half a minute, Barney Frank will be with us. But first, here's Christopher Dobbs, senator from Connecticut, talking with CNN's John Roberts last week, saying the Senate bill, though not perfect, is a good first step. He said the ripple effect of foreclosures justifies more government action.
Every time, John, you have one foreclosure in a 1/8 square mile, which is traditionally a city block, the value of every other home, even though they're current in their mortgage obligations, declines by at least 1% immediately. Crime rates go up by 2% immediately. So the issue here is not just the foreclosed property, but what happens? What's the domino effect? And the domino effect is to bring values down for the first time since the Great Depression, I believe.
Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut speaking last week on CNN. His counterpart in the House of Representatives is Congressman Barney Frank from the 4th District of Massachusetts, chairman of the Financial Services Committee there. He joins us now from Manchester, New Hampshire. Congressman Frank, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Tom. Well,
you've got a lot of attention going to be paid to what you're proposing this week. What do you think of the odds of it getting through Congress, the kind of big package of help that you've outlined?
I think the odds are very high that the House of Representatives is going to pass it, and high, maybe not as high, that the Senate will. We've also gotten indications of support from within the administration, although there's no formal position yet. We ought to be clear. First, let me pick up with that very useful quote you had from Senator Dodd. I think one way to look at this, as you look at the damage that comes from foreclosure, is to see concentric circles of damage. Obviously, the major damage is done to the individual and the family who lose their home, and you could argue that in some cases they were irresponsible, which they were. I acknowledge that. On the other hand, as Senator Dodd points out, every house on that block, every house within a few blocks is also hurt in two ways. First, property values go down. Secondly, these vacant houses, these foreclosed properties, become magnets for crime. I just spoke to the fire chiefs of Massachusetts who were in Washington for a meeting, and the fire marshal of Massachusetts said they have a study that shows that foreclosed properties, not surprisingly, are magnets for fires and vandalism. Then you have this problem that municipalities, which depend heavily on property tax revenue to provide education, police, and sanitation services, they're losing money. There's a real crisis. In my state of Massachusetts, you have town and city after town and city having to go to the voters to say, look, we need more money because this has dropped. And finally, and maybe most importantly, the single biggest cause of this recession that we are now in, we've lost over 200,000 jobs this year. That is, as of today, there are more than 200,000 Americans working less than were when we ordinarily should be gaining $150,000 a month. And you're not going to resolve this recession until you deal with the foreclosure. So there's a lot of pressure to adopt the kind of thing we're talking about.
Barney Frank, we've heard today from homeowners who want and need help, but also from homeowners who say, there may be ripple effects, but by golly, I bought a home I could afford. I've paid my mortgage all these years. Why should the federal government be stepping in here to bail out these individuals? It's not fair.
Two things. First of all, there is more than a ripple effect. They say there may be a ripple effect. We are in the most serious economic downturn in recent memory, and it will not end because of this. Look, there are people who are working and have their jobs, and then there are other people who have lost their jobs, and we pay them unemployment compensation. There are people who buy all their own food, but there are other people for whom we buy food stamps. We have, I think, said correctly in this society, if you find yourselves in economic distress, within reason, we will try to help you out. And every program we have, unemployment compensation or, as I said, food stamps, they help some people who have not made it, and they don't help the others. But in this case, there is this direct relationship. The other thing, though, we should point out is this. People have said, and I understand part of this argument, well, if you make it too easy for the people who are irresponsible, how do we prevent this whole thing from happening again?
Sounds like a reasonable question.
And the answer is by passing legislation that makes it very, very unlikely, which we have already done in the House. That is, in the House, we didn't begin by trying to help the people who were in trouble. We began by passing tough laws, and I hope the Senate will adopt them as well, to ban in the future the kind of irresponsible loans we are talking about. That is, we had a lot of people who were lent money without documentation. They were lent money that was more than the house was worth and more than they could repay. The problem was that banks, which are regulated, didn't do those. There were other people, unregulated, who were able to make these loans. We now hope to have a law on the books that will prevent these kinds of things from happening. So that argument that we might just be getting into a repetition, I think we've resolved. Secondly, we are saying to the people in here, no taxpayer money is going to go to pay their mortgages. Here's the way it works. We are telling the people who lent them the money,
yeah,
or who bought the loans, you made a terrible mistake. And until you write down those loans, nothing's going to happen. So there's no taxpayer money that's going to write down the mortgage, and no taxpayer money is going to go to pay the mortgage.
But these would be federally insured loans. If the whole housing market crashes down another big whack, it would be the federal government on the hook in that case,
right,
wouldn't it?
But it wouldn't be paying anybody's mortgage. The federal government would then take the house. In other words, if you get one of these federal guarantees, you don't get a federal guarantee that you're going to be able to live in the house forever. The federal government will say, okay, you're now paying less for your mortgage, and you can refinance. But if at the refinance level, and by the way, it's only for homeowners, it's not for second homes, it's not for speculators, but if you have gotten one of these federal guarantees and you can't pay your mortgage, then we will foreclose again. So this is no guarantee that you stay in your home. It's a second chance, but it's a second chance that you'll have to meet. So at no point will the federal government be paying anybody's mortgage. The federal government will give the guarantee, and we hope that will allow, frankly, the mortgages to be sold more cheaply, the interest rates to come down. And if they do, they come down for everybody. But if you, after that refinancing, can't make the payment, then we will step in, take your home, and you will be foreclosed upon.
Congressman Frank, what about the other side of the economic argument? People say, well, maybe Alan Greenspan kept the economy and housing pumped up too high for too long. Some say it's still housing's still not at a reasonable level. It needs to be allowed to come falling down. And you're trying to put an artificial floor under it.
The question is the speed with which it happens. You know, if you're driving your car too fast, someone might tell you to stop. But don't jam the brakes on full speed immediately. There is no question that housing prices should come down. I've been saying that for a while, and I think they were too high. But the rate at which something happens is relevant. You need to have them, I think, come down a little bit more gradually, because otherwise you get the kind of recession that we're in today. So this will not stop housing prices from dropping. It will make it happen at a less rapid rate. There's one other piece that we're doing, by the way, and that is we already have property already foreclosed. We intend to provide money to the states and cities to buy up that foreclosed property. That foreclosed property that's now sitting there vacant is a terrible social blight. It drains money from the cities. So we are going to give money to the cities to put that property back on the market.
I know we've got to let you go. How do you rate your odds of getting this through as we speak today, Congressman Frank?
Very high. I will say that if you listen to what the Federal Reserve has said and the bank regulators, there's a lot of support for this kind of concept. We wish we didn't have to do it. But the alternative is, and you said it before, there's a big fire going. I think this is the least expensive way and the way that involves the least subsidy to anybody. The only other thing you can do is nothing. And nothing means we have a recession. And a lot of people, they paid their mortgages and they are paying their mortgages. They can lose their jobs and find themselves with fewer municipal services. So we do think, I wish we weren't in this bad situation, but you know, I wish I could eat more and not gain weight. I can't just act on my wishes. And given where we are, I think this is the best possible response.
Chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, Barney Frank, thank you very much for being with us, Congressman.
Thank you, Tom.
Let's take a call here from Boston. Bruce Marks, that's a very familiar name to anybody who's followed lending and housing. He's CEO of the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America. Bruce Marks, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. What do you see going on here, Bruce?
Well, one thing, there is a much better solution that's out there. And one, clearly, we should not use the taxpayers' money to bail out either the Bear Stearns, because, you know, we're the group that stormed their offices with over 200 people just last week. But the fact of the matter is, what Congress should do is they should say, stop the resets now. These are defective mortgages. They're unaffordable.
You're talking on the variable rate mortgages. No more variation, you're saying. Don't let them float up.
Don't let them go up because they're unaffordable. And then stop a moratorium on the foreclosures out there until every possible remedy has been addressed so you can restructure them, reduce the interest rates to what the homeowners can afford. And we've done that with thousands and thousands of homeowners. We've been able to reduce their interest rates to what they can afford. Because when you look at what Congressman Frank is talking about, what he's saying is, let's refinance these loans. Every time you refinance, there's fees, there's costs, and all that.
But you're asking for a refinance, in effect, if they've got a variable rate loan and you want to stop that adjustment. That's a kind of refinance, isn't it?
No, but it's not, because it's staying with the initial investor. The problem is not the investors. The investors say, we want some return versus no return. The problem is the people that service the loans force the servicers to keep with the existing investors at no cost, with not $1 of taxpayer money, say, we're going to reduce the interest rate and or the outstanding mortgage amount to what the homeowner can afford.
So you're saying Barney Frank's not going far enough here with this plan, but what about the argument that even Barney Frank says that housing prices probably need to fall in this country? Are you trying to fight the tide here, Bruce, in a way?
Oh, no, absolutely, and they should fall, because the problem is there's been a total disconnect between what people make and their mortgage payments. So you have to get back to some kind of reasonable reasonable relationship between income and mortgage payments. But the fact of the matter, there is a solution out there that forces the people who have created the problem, who have profited from the problem, to correct the problem. Those are the people that own those mortages now. So we don't
want taxpayer
money to do that.
Yeah, stick with us for a second here. Joe Mason, what do you say to that argument, Professor Mason?
I've talked with Bruce extensively
How
you doing, Bruce? And I agree with much of his strategy to refinance. I don't agree with some of the moratoria, but we've hammered that out. I think it's important that you have to remember what this proposed plan doesn't include is a re-underwriting of the existing loan. It's just a matter of we accept the original lies that were on the original loan application, and we allow these people to go out and do it all over again. But those lies are lies. They still don't have the income or the savings to make
Joe,
a sustainable mortgage. So I agree with Bruce that we need to – no, this is where we agree, Bruce. It's okay. Because I agree with you that we need to go look at the borrower and see what they can afford if they can afford.
But he wants a freeze. He wants the government to say we're going to stop it right here and freeze the foreclosures as well.
Right, Joe, because, Joe, come on, you know that you've got to get the servicers to restructure the loans, and the only way to get them to do it is not to encourage them to do the foreclosures, but to encourage them to do the solutions. And the only way that you can get them to do it is saying you only go to foreclosure once you've made every opportunity to resolve the crisis, to make that loan affordable. And you know, Joe, that the investors want to do that. The problem is the servicers who are not incentivized to do that.
These are the ones out front making the promises, making the deals, and then selling them downstream.
Yes.
Servicers. Mm-hmm. Joe?
Right. Bruce, though, you have more faith in the servicers than I do, I think, because I think that the servicing industry, the large banks, are tremendously ill-suited to deal
Absolutely.
With the subprime type of borrower. I think they really need the old-style underwriting that can be provided by a community group or a community financial institution.
But that's not what's going on for
caller,
a long time.
But
that's exactly right, Joe. The only way you can do that, like as you know, we have a legally binding agreement with Countrywide and with Citigroup and some others to do that. And you're exactly right. You got to force them to do that. The only way to do that is have the regulators step in and saying you're not allowed to foreclose until you do the right thing. So let's at least say today, Joe, we're on the same page. A moratorium on foreclosures, a moratorium on the resets.
And that we don't even hear in what is coming out of Washington, at least to us this morning. Bruce Marks, thanks very much for calling in.
Anytime, Tom. Thank you.
Let's get another homeowner here, Tiffany calling from Lamoni, Iowa. Hi, Tiffany. You're on the air.
Hi.
What do you know?
Example, we have our house. We moved back to the Midwest. We had a house in Washington State that's been on the market for 13 months,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to not go into foreclosure, so we're working on a short sale. But there's an example. Unfortunately, we were in the adjustable rate mortgage, but we moved for a job. We're told at the time when we put the house on the market, 90 days, then it went to 120 days, but because of the horrible economy, we cannot sell our home. And we could afford our home when we lived there and we both worked, but you can't afford mortgage and rent at the same time.
Do you think the government should be doing something for you, Tiffany?
We're both working full time and, you know, have children, and we're trying to make the right choice. And we, you know, made our payment for 9 months without missing a payment, and unfortunately have had to now accrue debt on a credit card because you can't live paying rent and mortgage, and took a job to get back to the Midwest to be closer to family. And so then we had no idea that it was going to take that long to sell our home.
And what do you say to people who say, well, that's the economy. Housing prices need to fall, and, you know, you got what you signed up for. What do you say in response, Tiffany?
Well, I mean, I agree with what they were saying about, you know, if people need help with food stamps and other things. I mean, people need help right now. And we know people in Washington. I mean, it's just horrible, and I know California is horrible. And people are trying to do the right thing, but when you go for a job relocation and, you know, the realtor tells you 90 days, you know, you can afford the mortgage for 90 days and your house will be sold. And because of our horrible economy, it's been on the market for 13 months.
Yeah, well, that is
I know that I would have been in foreclosure 6 months ago.
That is a tough picture. We wish you good luck with it. Tiffany, thanks for calling. Josh Nassar, there's that voice of the homeowner again, trying to do the right thing and just can't swing it. Do you think you're going to get relief here? Is it going to be as big as our caller Bruce Marks is asking for, kind of, you know, freeze these foreclosures? Will you even get close to what Frank is proposing?
We need dramatic action taken, and we cannot rely on the industry itself to solve this. I just got to say that, you know, these assertions about natural rates of unemployment and kind of pseudoscience being talked about to justify this idea of just sitting on our hands and
watching the
economy go down.
You mean the prices need to fall, that argument, you mean?
Mm-hmm. And then also the assertions made about
excuse me, Josh, this is economics. It's not pseudoscience. It's basic economics.
Well, those have been confused once in a while. But, Josh, what's your point there?
What you're saying. But let's get back to the point, which is that we have a situation where an industry, an unregulated industry of folks, brokers and lenders, who've made a ton of money, who've done extremely well, are now we're all paying the price. We need to have strong protections in the front end to prevent this in the future, but we have to take dramatic action. And again, we cannot rely on voluntary efforts alone to get the job done. And the devastation here is just absolutely astronomical.
Well, there's the debate, and one of the leading congressmen right in the thick of it in this hour. We're grateful to each of you for being with us. Josh Nassar with the Center for Responsible Lending, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And Joe Mason at Drexel University, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.